It's 12:30. I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media News. Governor Pat Quinn has launched a website that outlines the history of public pensions, its problems, and the ways to discuss solutions through social media. It's part of the Chicago Democrats' long-awaited campaign to build support for an overhaul to Illinois' pension systems. It's called the Thanks in Advance campaign, which is supposed to be a message from the next generation to today's politicians. The website includes pictures of young children and a video, along with links to Twitter and Facebook. The website says there will be an online town hall meetings on the issue. In announcing the website yesterday in Chicago, the governor said he was determined to get pension reform passed in Illinois.
We will not ever yield until we get it done. We have to do it for these boys and girls. We would certainly be sad indeed if years from now, when we're all gone, people look back on 2012 and say those folks back then in Illinois didn't rise to the occasion of the challenge of their democracy, of their time, and get the job done for the people.
Quinn also repeated his support for shifting the burden of pension costs from the state to local school districts. Lawmakers have failed to come up with a plan to deal with Illinois' roughly $85 billion funding gap, which is the worst of any state. Legislators meet later this month. The fall veto session starts a week from tomorrow. At least one lawmaker says he's frustrated that the governor does a good job of covering the history of pensions but doesn't lay out any proposals from Quinn or the legislature. Decatur Republican House member Adam Brown says because pensions are such a contentious matter, Quinn is refusing to discuss any specific plans out of fear he'll upset someone.
And I think, you know, when you're addressing a problem like this where we all understand that the pension system has been severely underfunded, why don't we address that situation? Why don't we understand exactly what we can do to move this state forward rather than just noting the past?
Brown also notes that every pension proposal that's gone through a legislative committee fails to mention retired judges. The Republican says it will take next week's veto session and a lame duck session in early 2013 before lawmakers will find a solution to pensions. Brown says he expects continued resistance to a plan that would shift the cost of pensions to downstate school districts. He also hopes legislators have time to address the budget over the next few months. Brown is also afraid talks could include extending Illinois' income tax hike that was approved in 2011. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels has ceremonially cut the ribbon opening the first section of the Interstate 69 extension slated to eventually run from Evansville to Indianapolis. Daniels joined Congressman Larry Bouchon and other officials for the ceremony on the highway near its Indiana 68 interchange north of Evansville. The Evansville Courier and Press and WFIE-TV report the governor then rode off on his motorcycle leading a caravan to a second celebration near Washington with another later at U.S. 231 at the interchange where the highway currently ends near the Crane Naval Surface Warfare Center southwest of Bloomington. The highway is to open to public traffic this evening. Graduating Indiana University students will hear from Governor Daniels just weeks before he leaves office and takes over as Purdue University's president. IU officials announced today that Daniels would be the speaker for the December 15th winter commencement ceremony in Assembly Hall on the Bloomington campus. The university says some 1,400 students are eligible to receive bachelor's degrees during the ceremony, with about 700 eligible for master's or doctoral degrees. Purdue's Board of Trustees picked Daniels in June as the school's next president. He'll start that position in January after his second four-year term as governor ends. More than 400 employees at the University of Illinois campus in Urbana are earning an annual salary of $150,000 or more. The News Gazette reports that the 472 employees in that category mark an increase from recent years, but that number is down from 2008 when 528 employees earned $150,000 or more. The News Gazette found that 155 employees are in the $200,000 or more category this year. The stats show that salaries are edging higher after several years of hiring freezes, furloughs, retirements, and budget woes. Randy Kangas is the U of I's Associate Vice President for Planning and Budgeting. Kangas says the salaries reflect the fact that there's stiff competition for faculty and top administrators among national universities. He says when there is demand, prices go up. Illinois Department of Children and Family Services reports higher rates of child abuse downstate. Rachel Otwell has more.
Illinois' child abuse hotline received more than 25,000 calls from July through October, a 5.4% jump compared with last year. DCFS spokesman Dave Clarkin says it's a trend that's increased over the past decade in central and southern Illinois, even as the number of child abuse cases in Cook County have declined.
because we do monthly looks at all of these numbers, part of our response was last month to announce a reorganization plan that would move staff to the front lines in these hard-hit areas. We want to increase the number of frontline field investigators that we have so that we can get children and their families the help they need as quickly as possible.
But those plans are contingent on getting more money. Legislators cut the department's budget in the spring, and DCFS says it needs the funding restored
so that we can grapple with these problems in areas across the state.
Otherwise, DCFS could have to lay off caseworkers. I'm Rachel Otwell.
According to the DCFS report, Vermilion and Macon counties had the highest rates among child abuse cases. In central Illinois, Douglas County has the lowest rate. A Chicago-area woman who just won a Rhodes Scholarship says she's interested in social welfare policies in the U.S. and how they could be made more effective. Rihanna Gunn-Wright of Oak Lawn is one of two winners from Illinois who were named yesterday. She graduated from Yale University with majors in African American Studies and Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies. The other Illinois winner is Benjamin Wilcox of Winnetka. He's a senior at Harvard University majoring in history. His senior thesis relates to race and Brazilian history. He plans to pursue Latin American studies at Oxford. In sports, in Big Ten basketball action tonight, Illinois will face off against Southern Cal as part of the Maui Invitational. Fighting Illini are 3-0 so far this season, while USC is 2-0. Illinois has won its last two matchups against the Trojans. Chicago Bears are hoping to avoid a repeat of last season as they go into tonight's game against the San Francisco 49ers in a key NFC showdown at Candlestick Park. Last season, the Bears were 7-3 when quarterback Jay Cutler got hurt, and the team lost five of their final six to finish 8-8 and no postseason berth. Tonight, the 7-2 Bears will again be without Cutler, who's sidelined by a concussion. In baseball, the Cubs and veteran right-handed reliever Sean Kemp have agreed to a one-year contract. The team announced the deal this morning. This will be the second season with the Cubs for Kemp, whose salary for next year is $1.35 million. He could earn an additional $50,000 each for appearing in 50, 65, 70, and 75 games as a pitcher. I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media News.